Sorry about that. For a minute, it looked like I vanished all of a sudden. Good evening, everyone. It's good to be here and be able to worship with you this evening. I appreciate our young men for leading our services today. They've done an excellent job. And by the way, I don't know if anybody knows this, that was Davis Owens' first time to lead a song here at Delrata. So he did a very good job. Good job, Davis. I told him I might mention that or might not. But he did an excellent job. I appreciate him so much being our intern with our youth group. It would be amiss to not start off by talking about our mission trip we just had to Ohio. I tell you what, we have some wonderfully and talented young people in this group. We took 29 people to Ohio, along with our chaperones as well, and they just did a wonderful job in teaching God's Word. I tell you, their daily schedule kind of consisted of waking up at being ready on the bus by 9 o'clock each morning and usually coming back about 10:30 at night. They did everything from using the chainsaw and cutting down some trees to mowing grass to praying with people, helping them in their daily walks of life. They taught Bible class at night and did an excellent job with it, two-hour VBS each night, Monday through Wednesday. They did several service opportunities and works. They really worked very hard, and I'm very proud of them. I'm always thankful to have the opportunity to lead this group. You parents, you do such a remarkable job in parenting your children. I'm very grateful. You really seem to make my job easy, and I'm very thankful. But y'all did an outstanding job. I thought about what all I could say other than that, but I had someone write me a letter. She shared it on Facebook, actually. This comes from Tom and Jessica Mays. You know, Tom and Jessica Mays was able to worship with us for about 4 or 5 years while they're here in town, and Tom was at the law school. And where we go at Highway 32 in Ohio is their hometown and their home congregation. And Jessica goes and writes this, and I think it sums up very well the entire trip. She says, "It's remarkable to me how God works within our lives. There are so many times I've thought, what was the purpose? What was the reason? God has used the past to make a very special future in the last 4 years for our small congregation at Highway 32 Church of Christ. I truly believe God has shown a reason and a purpose for my and Tom's short time in Montgomery, Alabama, over these last 4 years, that the Delrata Youth Group has made its annual mission trip and helped us put on a VBS each summer. This group and their chaperones bring a joy to our members and youth that is unsurpassable. God is using them to grow His church, and it's a true pleasure to see each year. This year was especially encouraging and special for me to see some of the youth I had pleasure in teaching in Bible class when I attended Delrata. It's incredible the way God connects us in this world, and how He uses us and reconnects us for His glory." She goes on and writes thank you to each and every parent that was had children on the trip, it seemed like, all those who were on Facebook. She ended by saying this, "Your children are such a positive, uplifting example, not only for the youth in our congregation, but for the young children as well. We miss all of you very much and sending lots of hugs home with Will and some others. Thank you so much, Congregation of Delrata." I think that probably sums up best our entire trip. You guys and girls did a wonderful job all the way from the start. About 2 months ago when we started preparing for this trip, we had several kids come up that weren't even able to go on the trip because of other commitments, and that they were able to work, and they came up and cut out and paste and colored and got things ready for our trip to Ohio. Thank you so much for all you do. It's a pleasure to serve as your youth minister here. I want to get to our lesson tonight. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them." It'd be amiss. All we got to do is look around this congregation. You see, we are very blessed with good families here at Delrata. It starts all the way from the beginning where we see children sit down on Sunday nights at Kids Sing. We see children assemble in the Bible classes each Sunday morning and Wednesday night. It is amazing to see the children we have here and how smart they are and the parents we have we're blessed with. As the psalmist writes, he said they're like hands and arrows of warrior. They're essential. They're needed. They're desired by those parents. And they love our love very, very dearly. Family can bring out the greatest joy in life. All you got to do is talk to a grandparent or a parent and bring up their children and talk positive things about their children. You'll be there for an hour, it seems like. Your children bring out, our children bring out the best in us, it seems like. On the flip side of that coin, though, family can also be difficult at times. You remember David and his rebellious son and Absalom in the book of 2 Samuel, where Absalom literally tries to runs David out of town, and he takes the throne from him. You also remember that family can sometimes cause great heartache. You see the story in 1 Samuel chapter 2 with the sons of Eli and how they displeased their father, how they went against his teachings over and over again, it seemed like. They say family can bring out the best and the worst in you within 24 hours, within only a day's time. And I can attest to that. They really do at times. But what I want to do tonight is talk about what's best as a whole for the family according to God's Word. I want us to dive into God's Word and focus on the needs of our family. And I want to look at each individual member of the family, the husband, the wife, the children, and the parents' need, and look at one need from each family member and how we can better serve that family member throughout the night. We'll look at the husband's needs, the wife's, the children, and the parents. And hopefully as we address these four needs that maybe a picture is painted that you've never seen before. And maybe say, yeah, I can do a better job. Because when I was putting this lesson together a couple of months ago, I kind of looked at it and said, yeah, I can do a better job. And I hope to share some of this understanding with you that I was able to find. And so what I want to do is, by the time as it starts to get away from us, is jump right in and look at the individual's need within the family. And we'll start with the husband's need. Perhaps the greatest need from the husband, from his wife, is affirmation. I took a poll a couple months ago. I asked some of our youth group parents and also some of our young pros and home builders. I asked them who were young parents. I said, what is it that husbands need from their wives? And of course, you did the common answer is respect. But as you dig deeper and ask for explanations, they said, really, it's affirmation. It's to know that I'm doing a good job and to know that you have my back and support. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 says this concerning the husband. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of every wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 says, husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. You go back two verses in verse 23. It says, a husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. A husband has a great responsibility placed upon him. According to these scriptures, the husband is to follow the example of Christ and to emulate that example throughout his leadership and throughout his parenting and throughout his time with his wife and the family. In addition, the husband is to be the provider and the protector of his wife and his family. And these roles are never to be taken lightly. As a matter of fact, you see them over and over again throughout Scripture. And God said, I've placed a role in the husband that is for him only. And he has to do this in leading his family to be a success. In fulfilling these roles, it's a husband's desire to gain the appreciation and respect of his family. Be strong and a confident leader that your wife can trust, that your children look to. As a matter of fact, you see the picture behind us as Captain America. He's known as America's superhero. We'll let you know a little secret to our wives. Every husband, every father wants to be a hero of their family. Every husband wants to wear the cape. Every husband wants to swoop in and be the protector and defender of their family. They want to lead them to victory, no matter what. But there are times, though, you see the flip side of that coin. There are times that we struggle as husbands. And we become very discouraged. Sometimes we find ourselves questioning our decisions and wondering, was it the right choice I made for our family? We worry about finances. We wonder if I'm still the superhero my wife will see once when we got married. And we question things at times. You see, being a leader of a family is not an easy task. And many times discouragement takes place. And what we need most from our spouse is affirmation. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says this, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear it. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. Also in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. It may be just a simple hug, a simple thank you, a word of praise, or a smile, or a heartfelt note that can turn a discouraged husband's world up, or turn a discouraged husband into the man he wanted to be once again for his spouse. There are times where the words, "I love you and I know you're working hard for our family," or "I really appreciate you," can really go a long way for a husband. Wives, we may not admit it, but we need your encouragement on a daily basis, each and every day. We need your affirmation in knowing that we can do it and we can lead our families. And then you move on to the wife's need. And I'm going to be very honest. I had no idea where this one was going to go. I did not know exactly what my wife needed. And so when I released this poll, I said, what is it that a wife needs from her husband? All the answers centered around one central theme. I had about 15 to 20 answers, and here it is. I hope you're ready for it, husbands. The wife said, "I need a proactive husband within the home and the family." It doesn't seem surprising in the world that we live in today. Husbands, our wives need us to do more within our homes and within our family. And I was thinking about this and how I want to approach it and what we want to discuss here. And I kept going back to one Old Testament character over and over. And that is the character of Job. And I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 5. Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And here the Bible writes, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the east. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one in his day. They would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send to consecrate them. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus Job did continually." Man, I want us to pay attention to what these 5 verses have to say concerning the proactive husband about Job. In verses 2 through 3, you see the earthly success of Job. He was a very blessed man and fortunate. He had a large family. Can you imagine having 7 sons and 3 daughters? Boy, I imagine the baseball field was filled with those children, and they had a great time together. I imagine there's many memories that could fill their house, and the stories that the walls could tell that echoed each and every day with their children being there. Verse 3, Job was a successful businessman. 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, plenty of hired hands, lots of land, and boy, did he have all the money he wanted. He was known as the greatest of all the men found in the east. Job, you did it. You were living every man's dream. You have all the money, you have all the fame, you have the family, you have the life that every man dreams of, to be successful, to provide for your family. And the enjoyment of life is at your hands. Whatever you desire, you can have. There was no drawback to what Job had, it seemed like. But you think for a moment, he said, "Wait just a minute, Will. You said the wife's need, not Job's need." And you're right on that. You see, a woman who fears God, we still haven't met her needs. Oh yes, we can see many people who get swallowed up in all the fame and fortune that they have in this world. We see plenty of men and women who are successful in the world's eyes, and it draws their attention to one another, and they become married only to see that marriage to be broken up just a few months later in Hollywood. But we see that money doesn't always bring happiness to the whole family. Here's the key to the wife's need that Job had. Look with me once again in verses 1 and 5. You'll see a husband fulfilling his wife's need. In verse 1, it said Job was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. This is the type of man our wives need and our families need. A companion whose reputation is upright, one that sets his eyes on the goal in serving God and doesn't allow temptation to take him off the pathway of righteousness, and he's faithful to God and also his spouse all the days of his life. If you return back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, you see, husbands, you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church, and He gave Himself up for her. Each and every moment you're living for God, each and every moment you're living for your spouse, and your eyes are fixed solely upon her and the God you serve. Husbands need to be proactive in their love towards their wives. And it's not limited to just the physical relationship, but in their speech, in their example, in their reputation, their communication, their helpfulness around the home, their listening and their desire for only her. If I could spend just a few minutes in conducting a survey and asking, what is your husband really like at home? I wonder if the answers would surprise us. Husbands, we must be proactive in our love for our wives. We must be proactive in raising our children. Our wives look at us, and I hope she sees the light of Christ shining within us on a daily basis. And she does, I hope and pray that she looks at us as a leader of the family still. Another attribute that Job had that his wife desperately needed in their family, this comes in verse 5. Job was proactive in his role as a spiritual leader of his family. Men, our wives do not need to be the spiritual leader within the home. Let me say that again, let it sink in. Our wives are not to be the spiritual leader within the home. Here's why. That is the husband's role. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 is very clear. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but you bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. God looks directly at the father. He said, it's your responsibility to bring your children up in a faithful Christian home. It's a blessing to be successful. It's a blessing to be the financial supporter of your family. It's a blessing to have possessions and enjoy them with your family. But if husbands and fathers are not being proactive in their role as spiritual leader of their home, then we are failing our spouse and we're failing our God on a daily basis. A husband is to be the spiritual leader within the family. And he is to steer his family on the course towards heaven. At the same time I say that, I have to put a little star beside it. Because I know many women who are single parents, and they do an amazing job raising their children. They have to play both roles. I don't know how they do it, but I will say this. There are some women in this congregation that I look up to each and every day and I pray for, and I'm thankful that they lead their families. If the husband is not there and these ladies are leading their families, you be an encouragement to them because you're doing a great job. Too many times, the role of the spiritual leader within the family is having to be passed on to the wife. It wasn't the design for the wife to have to take this role on, but sometimes they have to. Men, we have to be the leaders in our home. We can't sit back in a lazy boy chair when it's time for a Bible study with our children. We can't remain silent when decisions are needing to be made within the family. You can't play the part on Sundays and Wednesday nights because I'm telling you, if we're doing it right now, then our spiritual commitment is failing within our family. We need to accept our role and we need to be joyful that God's given it to us. It is a tough role at times. It is hard. That's where the wife's affirmation comes in as well. Men, we need to be the proactive husbands and fathers our wives and God desperately needs us to be. Especially in today's world. When you cover the husband and wife's need, then you move to the children. And we look at the children's need, and this one's an interesting one as well. We begin our transition to the children. What is it that kids need from their parents? And here's what I come to find out. There may be plenty of things that our children desire from us. The next new gadget, new iPhone, the next new car, things like that. I just took 29 people on a vacation from their parents. I think they enjoyed it very much. Maybe they need a vacation sometimes from parents. Maybe parents need a vacation from their children at times. That's okay too. But I want you to think, what do you really need from your parents? Parents, our children need God's guidance each and every moment of the day. Our children need to know what's right according to God's law and who the Lord is and their spiritual walk with God and becoming Christian. We need to be teaching and educating our children and God's word continually, for we are their primary educators. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, we have the story of the children of Israel and they're standing before Moses. And Moses had delivered the Ten Commandments given by God. After reading these commandments, we see a recommitment by the children of Israel. They once again devote themselves to God. And Moses is about to deliver some very important points that God said, I want you to tell these people. And here's what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land that you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. How often are we need to be talking to our children about the Lord and His plan for our family? Every moment we have a chance. Every time we have a chance to be with our children. You come back to this question that we've asked before. What is it our children are saying about us in their education spiritually? How often are we teaching our kids and having spiritual conversation with our kids on a daily basis? Is it one time a week? Is it two times? Is it more than three? Is it up to 5 to 7 times? Is it every moment we get? We need to really be thinking about this question. Well, you might say, well, you know, I've got an important job and it requires so much of my attention that I just cannot drop it when I get at home. Maybe we have the excuse, well, you know, really, I'm just a really good ball coach to my child and you know, I'm just lacking a little bit in the spiritual leadership. I'm getting there and I'm trying. I really know coaching a ball team better than I do coaching my child spiritually. Could it be also we make excuses that we spend most of our weekends on the ball field and we just don't have the time for those spiritual conversations? Are we more knowledgeable about basketball, football, fishing, hunting, softball, volleyball, whatever hobby you want to put in there or sport, and speaking about God's Word to our children? Why is it that we seem to have conversation about so many other things other than the Lord and His plan for our kids? Maybe we don't know enough. That's why we have Bible classes to educate us here at Del Rada. Maybe we haven't studied enough. That's why we need a daily Bible reading plan. Maybe it's just too awkward. Yeah, kids are awkward. I'm just going to be honest with you. I spent a week with them this week. They're funny and they're a lot of fun. They're awkward and they say the same thing about me. Everyone's awkward. Do we think it's the preacher's role or the minister's role to fulfill our child's teaching? We're only a supplement to your teaching. We're only a supplement to your child's education according to Spiritual Matters. I love helping. I desire to teach your children on a daily basis in Bible class and lead them on these trips, but I have three of my own that I'm planning to get to heaven and teaching them and educating them how to get there. I have my work cut out. I love helping our children, though. I love helping our youth group. But mom and dad, it's your role as a primary educator for your children. Parents, God has entrusted us as fathers and mothers to raise His children in His Word. God's blessed us with a wonderful blessing. Psalms 127, it says they're like hands in the arrows of a warrior. We're blessed. They call us blessed, those who have children and a family we raise. But we need to start having some serious conversations about who our God is, why we need to serve Him, and why we follow Him all of our lives. And that brings us to our last point. There's also a parent's need from the children. Yes, children, we still need some things from you. It's not easy, like we said, being a parent. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes we need help from other parents. We desire your prayers on a daily basis. And the last thing I want to end with tonight is the parent's need in the family's relationship. Young people, if we desire to know the Lord's ways and we say, it's your responsibility to teach me what's right and wrong, it's your responsibility to teach me God's Word, then you better be ready to listen when they start teaching you. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And I want to focus on the first seven chapters of the book of Proverbs. As you start to skim through those first seven chapters, you see the writer is writing to his son. And over, you notice a reoccurring phrase. As a matter of fact, I looked at Proverbs chapters 1 through 7, and 17 times I saw the same phrase being written. And here it was. He says, "My son, listen to me." Over and over, Solomon, you see, is instructing his sons the ways of wisdom in order to discover righteousness and what the Lord has to say. And over, he says, "I want you to listen. I want you to know, my son." "Dad, why are you telling me this?" "Because it's important. Because there's times I've failed and I missed the mark. Because there's times I've lived life longer than you. And I've seen what God has done. And I want you to know what God is." In Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 20 through 23, I want to read these together. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23 says this: "My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life." Do you notice a connection between Proverbs chapter 6 and Deuteronomy chapter 6? You do, right off the bat. You see Solomon declaring to his son, he says, "I want you to listen to what I taught you. I want you to listen to what your mother taught you." He says, "I want you to apply those teachings within your heart. What I've told you throughout life, I want you to understand and to know. You will need those teachings. Whether you're walking from your daily activities, where you lie down at night, whether you talk with one another," he says, "I'm trying to tell you the way that God wants you to live. I want you to know how to be successful, not just in life, but to be successful spiritually in eternal life." Young people, we ask the question, are we listening to our parents' instructions and their godly teaching? And we put down our iPhones on a daily basis in order to gain knowledge. When they ask us how the school day went, do we say, "Oh, it's just fine," we walk away? But do we really tell them what's going on in our lives on a daily basis? Sure, we have the generic answers, "It's fine, everything's good." But is it really? Sometimes we have to listen. Sometimes we have to pay attention to mom and dad. We always need to. But what they have to tell you is not just what they have to say, it's what God has to say. They love you. They desire what's best for you. You are the number one goal in their life in raising and getting you to heaven. They want a successful life with you. They want a relationship with you. Get this, they want to be involved and proactive with you. Sure, it may seem sometimes they're being unfair, mean, embarrassing, old school and uncool, but they're not to be your friend or your buddy. They're to be your parent. They're here to raise you in the instruction of the Lord and His admonition. They're here to love you, discipline you, and correct you, and to guide you towards the pathway of heaven. And we need to be listening to their advice. If I could go back and have 5 more minutes with my mom to hear what she has to say, I'd give anything. The family needs are important. Each and every person within the family is important. And they have a need that needs to be met. They might not say it all the time, and you may not hear it from them, but there is a need that has to be met. The spiritual need of the family is to be educated daily basis in God's Word, to encourage one another and to build one another up, because the Lord is coming, and He's looking to take us home with Him. I love my family. I love my church family. I love my children, and I love working as a youth minister here. And I have a mission, and it's to get to heaven with my family. And I hope you share that same mission. And the things we talked about tonight in closing, I really hope you consider these needs. And be proactive as husbands, and as wives, to be encouraging to their spouses. As children, to be listening to their parents, and as parents, to be instructing their children on a daily basis, as much as you see an opportunity.